Good morning again, everybody. We're honored that today we went, got Ed from a couple blocks away, so it wasn't too bad this morning. But Ed is going to be talking about testing the spirits, right? And that's what the word says to do. Spirits are all around us, right? You have to test them. Meaning, are they good spirits, bad spirits, weak spirits, strong spirits? Word says we're known by our spirits, so there's more good spirits than bad spirits, hopefully. All right, Ed, who would you like to open you up?
Taylor.
All right.
Okay. Are you guys ready? Let's bow our heads. Okay. Dear God, we thank you for today and for waking up and being able to come to this Bible study this morning. I pray that whatever my dad teaches on this morning will speak to each and every one of us in our own ways and that we can practice it in our lives. I pray that we will just take something from this and understand and listen to what you have for us and prepare us for the day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. All right, test the spirits. So 1 John 4:1 is what I'm teaching on today. 1 John 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So, of course, I highlighted the word test there. Because I was like, okay, what does it mean to test? You know, I want to make sure that I'm... Does it mean that we got to mess around with spirits? Does it mean that, you know, you get into the spiritual realm? That kind of stuff? Or what does it really... What's the Bible really trying to tell us? Of course, I went to Donovan's favorite, the Greek, and looked up the word. Here's the word right here. And, of course, I can't pronounce it very well, but I will try. That's the Greek word is dakimazo. Dakimazo. Yeah. It's like a Japanese samurai word. And what that means is to test, examine, prove, scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not. And that's really what the scripture is telling us here, is we should examine, you know, what's being taught to see whether it's of God or not. And this is out of 1 John, and he was talking to the Christians. He was writing a letter about this very subject. Actually, the whole book of 1 John is about staying in what they know, staying in the truth. And so this one verse that I plucked out in context is really about staying in the truth and examining what those things are that they were taught and not just believing them, right? So I said, how do we see whether something's genuine? So I got an example here, and I figured... it's a... Oh, no. He's a little... Okay, I'm not going to go there. How to spot a counterfeit. You know, anything that's worth something is something that someone tries to counterfeit. You don't see people trying to counterfeit something that's not worth anything, right? So the gospel is being counterfeited because it's of value. It has an eternal value. And, you know, this is just an example because we all have money and we all like to have money. And, you know, for instance, the $100 bill, it says, you know, how do you know this $100 bill that might be in your wallet unless, of course, you're me, then your wife takes all your money and yeah. You don't get to carry hundreds.
She can distinguish between the real
thing. Yeah, she takes the real one and... leaves me some paper in my wallet. She leaves me the receipts, just the receipts. I get the bank withdrawal in my wallet. She gets the $100. So just as an example, you're looking at a $100 bill. It says, you know, look at the portrait. You have the serial number. You have the Federal Reserve number, the security thread, the line that runs through it when you hold it up, the fine lines. Then there's a watermark. When you hold it up to light, you can see the watermark. And then the color of the 100. Now, a lot of us might not know, but when you're printing, they're using these presses, and they're using techniques that are kind of not known, so that way, if no one knows the techniques they're using, then they can't really replicate it. So when you look at this stuff under a magnifying glass, you can see the differences, just like on checks. A lot of us have maybe personal checks, maybe some of you younger people who still use personal checks. Yeah, the young people, like I said. But even on checks, if you try to photocopy it, it's going to come up with a void. And that's a technique that only shows up when you photocopy. And then there's other features. And anyways, my point is how do you know something is the real deal or a counterfeit? And it's by examining it. You could just believe, but how many of you would be upset if you had a stack of hundreds and you went to go use them at the store and someone said they're all counterfeit? All of a sudden your $500 became worthless. Right? You go to cash them in and they're worthless. No one wants to do that. And if we do that with our money, how much more so would we want to make sure with the Word of God that we're not falling for a counterfeit? So that was my physical example, now my spiritual example here. How to spot a counterfeit. Right in John, the first thing it tells us, John 4, 2 and 3 says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. All right, so this is not, you know, this is one scripture that's showing a quick way. This is like the face, you know, like the face of the $100 bill. There's certain things that can quickly test whether it's real or not, right? And this is one of the quick things. If they're not even recognizing Jesus, you know, that he's come in the flesh, then there's no further discussion, right? They're not of God. So that's when you have to, you know, that's it. We're done with your teaching, you know. Get them out of here, right? You know, get them off the stage, whatever. Or if you're reading a book, you know, burn it, whatever. Throw it in the fire. That's about the only thing it's worth. These are a couple other things that I just threw together quickly that, how to spot a counterfeit. It's not an end-all, be-all, but I'm just saying, you know, there's some things that we should definitely know off the top of our head. And when we're listening to someone's teaching, even when you're listening to my teaching right now, how do you know that I'm teaching you what's right if you're not doing this? Pastor Don hasn't said anything yet. But, you know, simple question, do they believe in the Godhead, the three in one? There's many verses. I just threw this one verse in there that talked about Genesis 3:22, and it said, "And the Lord said, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take from the tree of life and live forever." And the only reason I put that one in there is that God's talking to who? To the Godhead. I mean, he's saying, like one of us. And then, like I said, this is just one scripture. There's many, many scriptures that support that. And you got to be able to pull them out. Next one I put was, do you believe Jesus was resurrected from the dead? And in Jesus' time, the Sadducees didn't even believe in resurrection. So, you know, that would rule them out. This one I just put 1 Corinthians 5:4, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of them whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. And that was Paul speaking. But I put that one just because, you know, in our court system, you have to have witnesses, right? And you have to have at least 2 to 3 witnesses, and even the Bible teaches that you need 2 or 3 witnesses. And in this case, you know, there's over 500 witnesses. So we definitely, if someone rejects the resurrection or they teach contrary to the resurrection, then we know that that spirit is not of God. Do you believe Jesus is God? That's another one. Obviously, we know, like Jehovah's Witnesses, certain groups reject that he's actually God. And that's another easy thing, or easier. It sometimes it takes a little while to get that out of someone because they want to teach, you know, they're teaching and teaching, and maybe weeks in before you find out that they don't believe one of these things. Because they're not just going to come out and tell you, right? They don't come out and say, "Hey, I'm a false teacher. Don't listen to me."
But if you asked Mormon, Mormon question number 3, do you believe Jesus is God? What do you think their answer would
yes.
be? Yes.
They would say yes.
Why? Because they believe we're all gods.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, a lot of us might not believe in the... Well, yeah, that's why it's not just one. It's a series of questions, and it's a series of just like that $100 bill, there's not one security feature. There's multiple, because someone might be able to counterfeit one of them, or 2 or 3, but they're not going to cover all of them. And, Kathy...
And you can't spot it when it's going quickly past you. Like, right. Think about if you just walked into it. I work for, I'm a booster member for the athletics, so I was working concession stand one day. I didn't take it, but one of the other girls that took, we had a counterfeit 20. We've never, ever had a counterfeit 20 in our life, but we didn't even know until we took it to the bank. The bank was like, "This is counterfeit. It's not even real money." So, but it's just sometimes you're doing stuff so fast, and you can be listening to people so fast and just not paying attention.
Right.
That you can just miss it.
You're right. You know, also, what I was saying is most of us aren't going to fall for maybe the Mormons or the Jehovah Witnesses, but what about the false teaching that crops up in the church? And that's the hardest to discern is it's, you know, imagine if I'm teaching you false stuff. You're believing me because I'm one of your brothers. Or I'm acting like I am, right? And you know the scripture. That's a lot of what the New Testament was dealing with, was trying to make sure that the church itself wasn't allowing false teaching. And it's easier to fall for false teaching within your own community than to recognize it from outside. You're gonna figure that out pretty quick. But inside the Christian body or the body of Christ, even books, those are hard because you go into a Christian bookstore and you're not always getting Christian books. So
there's a good check for that. There's a good check to see if you can really believe the book. You look at the title. If it says the Holy Bible, you can believe it. Mm-hmm. Any other book is just somebody's opinion.
Yeah.
It needs to be checked out. It's not that it could be wrong.
Yeah.
Not that it is wrong, but it could be wrong because it's just somebody's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we can take and bank on, of course, is the Word of God.
Right. It is hard. It's not hard, but it's hard because you have to try to figure it out before you buy it. You can't go in the bookstore and start looking for a book. You got to go into the bookstore knowing what book you want to buy because you've already looked to find which one you want. You know, if I go in the bookstore, I look at it and it says New York Times bestseller. I'm like, not that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, most people go into Christian bookstores and can't even discern the right books.
Just because that bookstore says Christian on it doesn't mean the books in there are accurate to the Word of God. Because you probably could take, I hate to say this, 90% of those books and trash them.
Yeah.
That's how whacked out most of the theology is. And so that's why we have to be so attuned to God's Word and know how to interpret it correctly, handle it. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy, to not be ashamed, to correctly handle the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a correct way to do it, and there's an incorrect. That's the, like you said, Ed, that's the hard part, discerning when somebody was doing. And that was, if you look throughout the entire New Testament, they believed in those four. You know, they believed in the Godhead, many of the people in the church. They believed that Jesus was resurrected. But then what they begin to do is to bring in outside practices or information, and it begin to dilute.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see, you know, circumcision, they were trying to bring that back in, or all these Jewish dietary laws.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a lot of people, they'll tell you they're Christian, and they want to bring in all this extra biblical stuff, and that's where it gets real fuzzy, because you can find those passages in the Bible somewhere, maybe like a Seventh-day Adventist. Well, you need to keep the Sabbath day, and a lot of people wouldn't know how to discern and really break down the Word and say, well, okay, yeah, that's what the Bible says, so I need to go to church on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Right.
So that is where, you know, most Christians get led astray. So, yeah, they can be correct A, B, C, and D, and then they get the E, and it's like,
right.
You know, how do we really discern? So that's why constantly encouraging people, read your scripture, but understand there are tools that'll help you understand it more accurately.
Right.
And if you don't have those tools, you're going to be in a world of trouble.
Right. Next slide.
Can I ask a question? Oh, I'm sorry. Talking about checking out the Word, could you go back to the last screen? Wait, let me get my right glasses. Sharon, did you take my glasses?
Yes, they're filthy.
Thank you.
You're borrowing mine.
Leaves me blind. That's all right. We'll,
can I read it for you?
Yes, please.
Number four?
No, number two, 1 Corinthians. Okay. Right there. Everybody got Matthew? This is one of the Pastor Don tests. All right. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. The beginning of Matthew chapter 27. Title in mind, bar the door. Title in mind says Jesus hangs himself. Does everybody agree or close to it?
Judas.
Judas. Thank you.
Test the spirits. Test the spirits.
I'm using my wife's glasses. Judas hangs him. Hold on.
Get out of here.
Yeah, we let put two pair on. But look at chapter 27. Judas hangs himself, right? Is that what it says in most Bibles, the heading?
Yeah.
Okay. Then verse 32 of 27 talks about what? The crucifixion. Correct? Is everybody looking at their Bibles?
Yeah.
Right. Of Jesus, not Judas. Thank you. So if Judas is already dead before Jesus is crucified, what 12 did he talk to? They hadn't chosen another apostle yet, had they? And that was in Acts.
The 12 is, well, is well, it depends.
It said the 12.
You have to look at it.
The 12 apostles.
Right. That's a.
He wasn't chosen until later in Acts. That, you'll have to read Acts and see. Anybody? Paul was deluded. Does anybody have an answer to that question?
I have a question.
Judas
to
was
your,
already
to your
Judas
question.
Was already dead before Jesus was crucified. So after the resurrection, how could he come back and talk to 12 apostles when there was only 11?
I don't know if it's right. I'm going for it, Jamie.
Did he, in reference to the 11 disciples after Judas was dead, were they still referred to as the 12 before the other apostle was anointed?
No, 11 means 11, 12 means 12.
The 12.
If you have 8 camels and I steal one, you only have 7. You won't call them 8. No.
But he always still called them the 12.
No. No, he called them 12 because it says there were 12.
What's the timeline in there? Is that
well? We just read it. Jesus hanged himself.
But is the Bible in chronological order?
Judas, thank you. Simple question. Give me an answer on that next week. All right.
There you go. That's your test. It's your test. All right, Bob.
Yeah, I just don't want you to teach errors.
Yeah, I wasn't even teaching on that scripture, but okay. Right? Guards, take him out of here. Brian, get him out of here. First Corinthians 15:4, and then Bob's scripture about Jesus hanging himself. Was in Matthew.
They begin with J. I get confused.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like they did with 11 and 12, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, next slide is look at the detail. That's really, you know, where we were going. Is there's some high level things, but you can't always go. Some things, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil, you know, is like a wolf in sheep clothing, right? And obviously he doesn't want you to recognize that it's counterfeit. So you have to keep looking into the detail. And just like a $100 bill, as it's blown up, you can see these patterns that you can't just replicate on a regular printer, okay? I know, I have all those printers at work, you know. But yeah, I've tried to. I slipped Kathy that 20, you know. She fell for it.
Your wife said that's the only way you're getting out of your
job. Yeah, that's it. But, you know, these techniques have to be done on you know, presses that are really fine accuracy. And but, anyways, once you look into the detail, and then here's a real. An example of real and fake, you can see that it's more faded, you know. And, you know, that's the same thing with the word is someone's teaching might on the surface look to be good and it all lines up with all that, but then once you start taking your notes and you go back or they say something that just kind of doesn't sit right with you, you know, I know you guys all got that feeling that, you know, especially when they say that, you know, Jesus was hung, you know. Kind of makes the hair on your arm stand up a little bit, you know.
That should be a red flag.
Yeah.
It's in the Word.
But when you start looking into the details, and sometimes, like I said, maybe the first teaching they do, fine, second teaching, third, you know, the more you hang around, or they hang around, you know, eventually you're going to figure out whether they're teaching falsely. And especially if you're going to actually look into it. You know, a lot of us just take it and, yeah, that's, you know. And I know our pastors, you know, don't let, you know, people get up there and teach for a reason. Because they examine that person's life and their teaching and their, you know, before they let them teach. Now, obviously, we can get up here and make a mistake by reading the scripture wrong, or you know, it's in our memory, and you say Judas instead of Jesus, or Jesus instead of Judas, because it's not that he's trying to teach you falsely. It's just he just made a quick mistake, and that's where you have the, you know, the grace and mercy on someone, and we don't start throwing tomatoes at him right away, you know. So, look into the details. Acts 17:11 says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." And that's, you know, how we need to be, is examine the scriptures. Look at the details of a person's teaching. These are just questions I put up there. What scriptures are used? Is the message contradicting the scripture? Is my teaching of that verse different than what the verse really means? Right? You can do that very easy by not understanding what the context actually meant. Are they using the scripture in context? Do you know the context? If you don't, if not, are you going to take it on face value? Are you going to take that $20 on face value anymore, Kathy? No. Sometimes we do, you know, we do, but, you know, we need to look into it. We need to make sure that you understand what Scripture is teaching. So if we know what 1 John is all about, we know that it's about keeping with the Word of God, keeping the truth, and not letting false teachings come into the church, and you know all this, then when someone takes that one scripture and says it means this, then you know, no, that's not what it means. Because I know what the context is.
Can I give you a great example of one here?
Sure.
You guys should turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. We'll make this real quick. In the very last little paragraph in the Book of Matthew.
Matthew 28.
And you guys have heard this scripture a million times, I'm sure. And Jesus says, what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who can finish that for me? First. It's the very last three verses in chapter 28, which is the last. Esther, what does that say?
I'm sorry, where at what verse? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I say I am with you always.
Okay, now use that scripture, because how many of us use that as far as missions?
Mm-hmm.
All of us, right?
Right.
But what is the context, and who is he speaking to?
He's speaking
to his disciples, right, that they were to go into all the world. That didn't mean they were going to Japan, but they were going to all the Roman world to preach the gospel. But you see how easily we think, well, that's for the church. And that is the mission of the church. But that was specifically spoken to them.
Right.
Because that was the... And we get in the book of Acts, and we see the same thing repeated, but on a smaller scale. But it just shows you how, when you know the context of who he's speaking to, so when somebody says, well, God has told all of us to go in all the world. No, he didn't. He told them to go in all the world. Yeah, now we're to preach the gospel wherever we went. But that was a specific assignment for them within their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So that's pretty much it is, you know, really testing the spirits means to test what's being taught. It's not about, you know, getting into the spiritual realm and fighting spirits and stuff like that. It's testing. Taylor, one more for Pastor John. It's go ahead, Pastor.
I want to add something to it because you may be a young Christian. You may not know the Word of God, like, you know, say, well, hey, I'm not like Bob knowing about Jesus actually being, you know, hung. But there'll be times that you may not know it intellectually, but you're going to feel it in your spirit. I'll give you a great example. The other night, when that guy came into my house,
even your dog.
Even my dog sensed it. How did you guys feel? There was a tenseness that came as soon as this guy came down the stairs.
He was like, I was coming in, and then he was coming in behind me, and he was like grumpy. He was like, is this how I get in or what? I was like, well, we're going in, so yeah.
But everybody that was down in the basement, they you were like, just this tenseness mm-hmm. came in when he came in. Mm-hmm. And there's a discernment of spirit, so you have the Spirit of God. When you get that real uneasy feeling, too, you may not be able to go, but you just know there's something wrong here, and I better be careful.
Right.
And so that's why God equips his people, but a lot of people will neglect that. And that's got to line up with the Scripture also. But you'll be amazed how many times the Spirit of God begins to activate you, and you get mm-hmm. this kind of like, oh, there's something not right here type of thing. It's like a cold and just a binding type of spirit. So, this, you know, I know Pastor John talking about, but that's something, too, if you say, well, I really don't know the Scriptures as well as I should. You start getting that crazy feeling, you know that those little red flags should pop up.
And I know, just speaking of that, is, you know, it seems like a lot of women have that a little bit quicker than us men, because I think we're, you know, like Sammy, you know, bull in a china shop, you know, where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm the man. But, you know, women now often pick up weird things, you know, they just feel uncomfortable. Someone walks in the room, and you're like, something's not right. And like Pastor Don says, you need to pay attention to that. Sometimes it's you went into the wrong store or the wrong neighborhood or, you know, different situations, not always about teaching, but, you know, there's that discernment that you need to pay attention to. And like you said, still test that against the Scripture, but, you know, the Holy Spirit's within us and he's warning us of something. So we need to pay attention to those. Don't ignore that. Unless, of course, it doesn't line up with Scripture, then you need to get rid of that.
I'm talking about discernment. Before I came to this church, I went to so many churches trying to find a church. And I went to this one. It was a very big church. There was a lot of people. They had more than one service. And the people were very, very friendly. I got to say that. It was a very friendly church. I won't say any names. It was a downriver church. But there was something not right with it. There was just this sense that something wasn't right. And after going a couple times, they said, if you're thinking about joining this church, come after and we're going to have a service, or we're going to have into this room and we'll talk to the people and tell you what we're about. Mm-hmm. And so I went, and they said, we concentrate on the New Testament. Mm. And right there I went, that's what I didn't hear. They made no reference at all to anything in the Old Testament. Right. And I thought, you can't have one without the other. Right. It was like they were picking and choosing. And so I said, no, this isn't for me. And I left. I never went back.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people think the Old Testament's old and it shouldn't be used. But really, the New Testament's all based off the Old Testament. So you're right. You can't have one without the other. If you don't have the old, you won't have the new, because they're intertwined. So that's it, and we'll just close in prayer. I'll just close in prayer real quick. Lord, we just thank you for this this time, Lord. We do thank you for your word and your wisdom and the tools you've given us, Lord God. And we just ask that we would be like the Bereans and study and show ourselves approved. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us today, and we would go and worship and exalt your name. In Jesus' name, amen.